Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Woo! It's Friday night. It's bad. When Dad said, you know, it's Friday night, how many people, and this is going to help at least gauge the room, how many people started singing Montel Jordan in their head? Nobody? This is how we do it? It's Friday night? Feeling right? Party's here on the west side. No? Cool. Wow. Dad. Which, apparently, he preaches now. And I'm like, you can't do it all. First things first. Rest in peace, Uncle Phil. I don't know, I'm in this music flow right now, so I apologize. That's J. Cole for all you old people. First off, I want to honor my parents, Bill and Sandy, for being them. And can we give a round of applause just being them? What I love is Dad feels like he softens things by saying, well, Sandy's not here, so I'm going to say it. And then she walks in, and he still says it. I can't wait to have that conversation when they get home. It is going to be fantastic. Oh, man, I can't wait. So I'm going to call it whenever we get done here. I'm going to give it about two and a half hours. I'm going to go, hey, Dad, how's it going? Do you still think that was awesome? Chicken, it's exactly what's going to happen. And Dr. Goofy nailed it. I don't know if you guys saw this move. That's Dr. Goofy. And he is responsible for the children around my age now here in the church. So great word. Thank you for finishing off and solidifying that message. No, but I'll tell you what, it is Friday night. It is revival. I am so excited. I'll tell you what, this revival's been unbelievable. It truly has been. And I know that when I get up, I feel like I just gush about it because, again, I saw it from start to finish. We had Gustavo give the prophecy while awkwardly rubbing my arm the whole time. I don't know if you guys remember that. We also held hands a lot. Not a big physical touch guy, but it's the prophet, you know? What are you going to do? I'm like, yeah, sure, just keep, anyways. But he said it, and then there was no question. There was no hesitancy. And then he said not to overplan it. Don't overthink it, just do it. And it's so cool to see now just over halfway what has come from it, and then the expectancy of what's coming in the second half of that revival. You know, I had a friend call me who's in ministry. He said, man, I just got a word for you guys, and it's don't rock the ark, or don't try to steady the ark. That we're moving the ark of the covenant, and it's starting to rock. Don't steady it. Just let it happen. Let revival be what it's supposed to be. So I am so excited to bring the word tonight because it is, I've had so much revelation during this revival. So much revelation, mindset changes, things that I had, I don't know if I had heard it or if it was subconscious or whatever it was that brought me to that point. But I've just, it's almost been where it feels like God just took it and just has flipped it on me. And it's opened my eyes. It's been unbelievable. So I want to talk about two things tonight that I truly believe have been revelations for me during this revival, and I hope they are for you. So turn your Bibles to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, we're going to read 18 and 19. It's one of the foundational verses. And I had this epiphany moment when I read this. And it was one of those things that I can't even place where I decided that this is what it was or this is what it meant. And what I read completely changed it for me. So Matthew 16, 18 and 19. This is out of the ESV. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So in the past, I'd always thought of this sentiment as, you know, I remember being young and having tougher than heck shirts, and then because we were afraid to get sent to the counselor going to elementary school, and then tougher than hell, we're tougher than hell because the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And I've always thought, whatever the enemy throws at us, we can handle. Whatever attack the enemy brings to us, we can handle, because the gates of hell won't prevail against us. And I'm literally reading that verse, and I just focused on gates. The gates of hell won't prevail against us. I've always thought it's whatever attack, whatever, man, the enemy can throw whatever at me, and I can handle it because the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And then I had that moment. The purpose of a gate isn't to attack. The purpose of that gate is not to take ground. The purpose of that gate is not to take areas of my life. The purpose of gates are to keep things out. That the purpose of the gate that they're talking about, the gate of hell, is not what the enemy is going to do to us, but it's what we are going to do to the enemy. Gates aren't meant to go out and attack. They're meant to prevent things from happening. They're meant for things to be kept out of entering, or kept from entering. It's a structure for protection and defense, not for attacking. Literally, I can't tell you, and I what's funny is I read it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get dad now. So I called him, and I explained this revelation. He's like, yeah, I've been saying that the whole time. I'm like, oh, no. Dang it, you have. I didn't hear it that way, and I'm sorry. So I realized that those gates, it's a structure for protection and defense. It's not for attacking. Besides being a part, so then I started doing research just in what gates were for cities in this time. They were protection against invaders, but they were also places of central activity. It was at the city gates that important business transactions were made, court was convened, and public announces were made. So it wasn't just this place that, like, you broke through the gate and then it was just for protection. No, that's where the core of the city's things happened. That's where the courts were convened. That's where business transactions happened. That was the central place. So that central place of hell will not prevail against the church. So that thing is not going to stop the church from advancing. That gate is not going to stop us from fulfilling the call that God's placed on our life. So the original Greek text lacks the preposition against in the verse. The phrase is literally translated, "The gates of Hades shall not withstand it." That the gates of Hades will not withstand it. Again, think about me, that I'm 35 years old, and I thought, what, man, whatever the enemy throws at us, we can handle because the gates don't. No. All of a sudden, my mindset goes from being defensive in whatever's going to happen, whatever the enemy's going to throw at us, and then I start to click over to offensive. It's like, no, we're taking new ground. And I'm not taking new ground and ground that we've already had. That's not taking any new ground. But I want to take ground that the enemy has put the gate there. I want the ground behind the gate. I want the people behind the gate. What I want is to keep going, and that gate isn't going to stop me. I don't have to worry about it be something being thrown at me or an attack happening and the gate. No, I'm moving forward with an offensive mindset and taking new ground because I am sick and tired, even at 34, of hearing people around our age say, man, having kids, like, how do you bring kids in this world? I'm like, I'm tired of it. I'm going to start taking ground. Because last time I checked, everywhere the sole of my foot stands is mine. I'm going to keep moving forward. And that's going to continue to be ours because the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. Is anybody here? Are we good? It's Friday night. Let's loosen up a little bit. It is Friday night. So the gates of Hades will not withstand it. Given this, the verse indicates that the gates of Hades, the realm of death and evil, are not able to withstand the advance of the church. So that means in revival, there is nothing the enemy can do to stop us from taking new ground. There is nothing the enemy can do. And I love it because I'll hear this. People will come out. They'll try it. I was on a Zoom call with about 15 pastors, and they were all talking about what's going on. They're like, man, our live streams are this. And I said, well, that's cool. We're about halfway through a revival, 60 days. And, I mean, people are shocked. And I said, no, not only that, it's packed. Like, people are hungry. There is an expectancy. And what I love it is there are people coming in and trying out the church, and they're coming to revival. And I had a few different couples say, man, it's just so refreshing to hear your dad talk like he does. That we win every day. There's so much hope. There's so much confidence in how he speaks. And I literally thought, thank God for a pastor that communicates and stands on the word in season and out of season. That no matter whether we're in a pandemic or not, that is the same. I mean, that has been the motto of the church. The motto of the church is help people win. When winning is not even in people's thought process anymore, that's still what we communicate. So going back a little bit, Matthew 16:13, and this was just another one of those things where Jesus was awesome. Just throwing that out there. Nothing was on accident. Everything was intentional. And I was reading through that, and I went back up to verse 13. And this is out of the ESV again. It says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? What's interesting about this is this in the time, whether it be literature, folklore, tall tales, that location that he had that talk about the gates of Hades not being able to withstand the advancement of the church was what they referenced as the gate to the underworld. So it wasn't just like on this mountain or in this field. It was so intentional that this is where they had that conversation. I mean, to me, he was thinking I was leaving no questions. I'm leaving no doubt that there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop us from advancing. There's nothing the enemy can do for us taking new ground. There is nothing that they can do. So now let's go to Psalm 23. And we're going to read the whole chapter. So you guys can tell me, man, I read a whole chapter of the Bible tonight. 6 verses. I got you. I'll take care of you. It's just like when you're walking through the woods and there's a bunch of tree limbs and it's a hard walk, always find the big boy and walk behind him. We will find the easiest path, I promise you. You might take 5 or 10 extra steps, but it's going to be the easiest path. So let's read a whole chapter here. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's go back to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That was always so interesting to me reading it, and it's one of those things that I think it speaks to the posture of how we are in the midst of our enemies. There's not fear. We're not afraid what's going to happen. That he creates a table. That he makes a table for me in the midst of my enemies. So now let's read it in the New Living Translation. Just verse 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. So it went from table to feast. And then I thought, man, that is amazing that we get to sit in our posture and having a feast is not aggressive. We're not looking defensively for where things are coming from. We're not looking for the attacks of the of our enemies. No, that he makes a table for us or a feast. And then I read in the Message Bible, Psalm 23:5, you serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. A six-course dinner. How many people have had a multiple-course dinner like that? I have. Horrible experience. Horrible. Two Michelin star in the Amalfi Coast of Italy. Should have been fantastic. It took like 18 hours. As someone who has trouble with keeping his attention span for any length of time, that is not a good setup for me. I don't care who is with us. I got to meet Dr. Oz. That was the best point of the whole thing, and we weren't even sitting at the table. Really short, by the way. It threw me off. I wasn't trying to take it, but really short. But a six-course dinner, truly, we sat down at 6 o'clock. We walked out at 11:45. They were all like this big of plates, and none of it was really good. Just throwing that out there. I'm like, y'all don't got a fryer back there? We're from Oklahoma. Just put some barbecue sauce on it, and we'll be good to go. But no, it's when I read that he create or he places a six-course meal for us. It took me back that time of thinking, I was looking around the room, but for the exit. I was not looking around the room for what my enemies were doing. I wasn't looking around the room wondering where I was going to get attacked from. I dozed off for like course 4 and 5, just out of pure hunger at that point. But it was such a relaxed position. That's the confidence that we can have, knowing that first, nothing's going to stop us from advancing. But then when we're in the middle of our storm, when we're going through something, when we're dealing with something, that he prepares a six-course meal in the face of our enemies. You're not looking and eating, anticipating where something's coming from. No, you're relaxing. There's a protection there. There's a covering there. So I want to encourage you with this. We're not fighting for our victory. We're worshiping and praising from a place of victory. No matter what part of the battle that you're in, whatever you're going through, you're not fighting for a victory. But you're worshiping and praising from a place of victory. Because that's the place that he has put us in. Another thing that through all this is, because it all came from a prophecy or from a word. So I was sitting down and I got on Google. Just so you guys know, I Google a lot. Well, I mean, I'm a conservative, so I duck-duck-go it. But I'm just kidding. That's not true. Google has everything. So I go to Google. They can track me all they want. It'll be really boring. And they'd be like, how does this guy jump from this thing to this thing? And I don't know, whatever comes to mind. I'm like, man, I wonder how that works. Google. It's fantastic. But I Googled just prophecy. Just I wanted to hear what the dictionary term was. And it said a declaration or description or representation of something future. So I thought, man, that's way more simple than I've made it out in my head. Way more simple. So then I went through and I did research and found out that the Hebrew word for it was Navi. And it's to proclaim or to mention, to call, to summon. And again, we want to think that we over-spiritualize things or make things more difficult than it needs to be. And I truly believe that during this time of revival, stuff is becoming so simple. Like, we're going to baptize tonight. When Uncle Denny said, baptism is supposed to happen on the right side of redemption. No. Repentance. Work with me. Repentance. The right side of repentance. It was so simple. Why are we overcomplicating things? So then to prophesy. You proclaim, you mention, you call. So here's the thing. If you have spent any time in this house, you know that there are over 7,700 promises in the Word. Prophesy the promise. We're about to sing a song called Prophesy the Promise. And I texted O last night at like 11 o'clock, and I was like, hey, I know this is crazy, but can we make this happen? I just found out I was speaking. This is I think we can get there. Because we're going to prophesy the promise. So whatever you're going through, there is a promise tagged to that issue. All you have to do is proclaim it or mention it or call it or summon that promise. That life and death are in the power of your tongue. So why would this promise that God has already given us, why would that be any worse or heavier than life and death? Your tongue's the pen of a ready writer. Write your story. Quit reading it along with everybody else and start taking control of your life and write your story. I've said it before, but the devil can only read your story. He can't write it. So quit putting blame on somebody else and start taking responsibility, because personal responsibility has to come into play. That's the good and bad of free will. But personal responsibility comes into play, so start taking control of your life and write your story. If you want it, say it. Proclaim the promise. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, I know it sounds crazy, but start tithing and watch windows of heaven open up above your life. Blessings that you cannot contain. I'm telling you, if there is stuff going on in your home, address it, especially the men. Address it. You are the gatekeeper for your house. Set the tone and make sure that nothing, for me, it started out as a joke because I really don't like scary movies. I really don't. Not a fan. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. Why anybody want to be scared? I don't get it. Like The Ring, Charleston. Was in the bath, got out, and she's like, Dad, look at my hair in front of her face. And I'm like, stop it! Roto boke bedele shandala. No, not happening here. No, 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 no. I don't care if you're coming out of the bathroom, TV, I'm out. But no, I truly looked, and then as time has progressed and as I look, so much of it is spiritual. I'm like, that's not coming to my house. No, no, no. I'm gonna be in control of what comes in here. There are times when I will get phone calls. Guys want to talk through stuff. I will step outside. I don't care how hot, how cold it is. I'm not letting that crap in my house. I will help you. I will speak life to that situation, but I'm not letting it in my home. Well, that seems a little too serious. Well, I have to live there. You don't. We got three of them, one on the way. My oldest is 4. Cass wants 6 kids. I'm great with it. I don't sleep as is. I'm really tired. I can't get more tired. Keep bringing them. I got home from work today and gave 7 spankings, whatever it was. And I was like, this is fantastic. I've been here a minute and a half. And literally I've given 6 spankings. Now I'm going to go pray in the spirit while taking a shower just to get my heart right for walking up. But I'll tell you what, I take control of what comes into my home. Because I'm not leaving it up to chance. If you got young kids, speak life over it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My house, my rules, we're serving the Lord. Maybe you're past that point. Call them in. I love that that has been an underlying theme of this entire revival. Is prodigal children. Why not? We're here. It is Friday night at 7:40, and we're in church. How amazing is that? And there's no fluff, there's no filter. Here's what it says. We're not going to sugarcoat it. So I want to encourage you with this. Prophesy whatever situation you're going through. Prophesy life. There is a promise tagged to that. Prophesy it. Because in the midst of your enemies, God makes you, prepares you a 6-course meal. There is no quick way to do that. You just got to sit and relax. And then the gates of Hades cannot stop us from moving forward. Take new ground. Well, we're in a pandemic. I know. Take new ground. Find a way. Find a way. Honestly, it's been awesome for our family. I know that people are going through things, but I mean, for us, we eat dinner all the time as a family now. Our kids know when they come to dinner, they better be prepared to answer what was their favorite part of the day. Trip, my 3-year-old, going to the land with dad. He's a liar, and we're gonna address that. But he says dad, and I'm great with it. I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. We didn't do that. But I'll tell you what, tomorrow, we're doing it. And it's just been, it's almost been a reset button. Like, I got convicted. I took church for granted. I took coming to church for granted. You take it away, if you could have church at your house, more power to you. But it is not the same. That anointing is not the same. Standing with 500 other people with your hands raised, worshiping God is not, I was the guy hosting the service saying, man, in your living room, stand up, worship. I tried it. It sucked. Like, it wasn't great. I tried, but it wasn't. And then we got to go here and I said, Lord, please forgive me. I don't ever want to take it for granted. I know it says don't forsake the gathering, but I'm definitely not going to again. I promise you that. So find ways to take new ground. We have just a few more weeks of revival. And then there's no telling what's coming after that. We may not know until literally Easter. But I'll tell you what's amazing is it doesn't matter. God's going to meet us wherever we're at. So take new ground. Quit thinking defensively. Oh no, the gates are coming after me. No, the gates are there to keep me out. Ain't happening. We're advancing. We're moving forward. And we are going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Okay, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. First and foremost, I want to ask you one question. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never made him your Lord and Savior, maybe you did it when you were a kid and it just, you just need to rededicate your life. You need to start on a new track. Tonight's the night. Just put your hand up, put it back down real quick. We're going to pray corporately, but I just want you to acknowledge God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody else? God bless you. It's a new day. The greatest life imaginable. Is there anyone else? I see it. Let's have everybody repeat after me. Father God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I thank you that I'm going to heaven and I will never smell the sin of hell. I walk with Jesus now. Lord, I thank you that you have full control and full access to every part of my life. Lord, I thank you that we are taking new ground every day, because the gates of hell cannot stop the church from advancing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.